Blog Talk Radio.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your character. You will win, win, you will. Came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will.
Thank you. want to help you win in this season. And if God is champion, you want to open up your mouth and shout, I am a champion. Everything attached to you wins. I said everything attached to you wins. Can you point to your neighbor and tell them, everything attached to you wins. Come on, let's just tell them, everything attached to you wins. Now just tell them, say, it's your winning seed.
It's your winning seed.
You've got God to carry you. You've got God to carry you. That's what he's going to do tonight. Cause you can't afford to lose again. You can't afford to lose again. Oh, it's your winning season. Last time, everything attached to me wins. This is what I need you to do, because I realize that you can't say you are a winner but look defeated. I need you to get up out of your seat and high five 10 people across this room. Don't just stay at your rope, tell them across the room that you will win. Come on, high five 10 people and tell them you will win. You will win. God don't birth failures. God don't call you defeated. You are a winner.
Song today, because what we see happening in this world right now is geared to a season. And we understand and know that Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. Right now we are going through a crisis, but you got to understand is that a crisis is not a permanent condition. Glory to God. A crisis is not a permanent condition, but you got to understand this. Crisis is a human condition. It has nothing to do with the kingdom. The kingdom of God, if he lives in you, you have power over this thing, because it's not a condition that lives in the kingdom. But I'm not going to prolong the time. I have a great woman of God that is with us on today. Hallelujah. And I thank God for her, because I had a chance to meet her. And when we met her at a conference, I leaned over to my wife and I said, this woman has to be in one of our conferences. We got to get her to come and minister to us. And you're going to see why when you hear her speak tonight. But I want to bring in our guest tonight. Hallelujah. And her name is Veronica Neely Morris. Hallelujah. Welcome, Veronica. How are you tonight?
I am doing fantastic, Pastor Keith, and I want to just say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. And you're absolutely right. The song that we started out with is definitely relevant to what we're going through today. It's just like what the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God.
Yes, and that is awesome. And that's a key thing right there, because a lot of people don't understand how to be still and hear what God is saying, because they're looking at the crisis, but this crisis is nothing but a temporary problem. That's all it is. It's a temporary problem that has a season and it has to end. And that song, if we really listen to what she said, is that in that season we're winners. We win. And the people of God today have to understand that we've already won. We're not trying to win. We've already won. Hallelujah. And I thank God for you tonight. But now, I wanted to start off, with you, I know you've been, you know, you've been doing a lot of things and so forth for the kingdom of God. But now, what area of the country, where are you actually from? Are you from Orlando? Or are you from Tampa? What area are you actually from?
I am a country girl to the heart, to the bone, they say. I'm actually from a small town here in Florida called Clewiston, Florida, born and raised in a place called Harlem. From there, probably around the age of 10, 12, I kind of migrated to Alabama, stayed there for a couple of years. Then I moved to Tampa, stayed there for a couple of years, ended up back in Clewiston, Miami, and in Orlando, which is the best place I've ever been. But I am a country girl to the bone.
Oh man, and you really don't seem like a country girl. I mean, you seem like a city girl. When I first met you, you don't seem like a country girl. And I tell you, I just love the anointing that God have on your life. And now, because I know you've been doing various conferences and so forth, and it's helping women, it's helping people. Can you tell us a little bit about your conferences that you do as well that benefits the people of God?
Yes, sir, I will be glad to. Well, first of all, again, my name is Veronica Neely Morris. I am a published author. I'm a life coach, respiratory therapist, and a woman of God. One of the things that I'm passionate about is empowering women to live their authentic life. As a Christian, I would say over half of my life, and I'm 53 years today, over half of my life, I live life as a defeated Christian. And the things that I was going through and the things that I was reading, those two didn't add up. I didn't understand how I could be a Christian and still be miserable on the inside. It wasn't until I actually got sick and tired of feeling some kind of way, until I started seeking God for myself as it relates to studying the Word and applying the Word and using the resources that God has already put in place. So one of the things that I do, I teach people how to be their authentic self, because the Bible says that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made in His image. We all have a gift inside of us. So I teach women, or I help women bring out that thing that's in them. And it's still from my childhood. As you may know, I don't know if you read my book or I either shared this at one of my workshops, from the age of 5, up until my mid-teens, I was sexually abused by my father, who was a, quote, man of God, unquote, for 2 or 3 times a week. To say that damaged me emotionally would be an understatement. And I had to fight, like we call at home time, a junkyard dog, just to get my marbles back. I tried different things. I tried motivational tapes and all of that stuff, and that stuff was good. The thing that transformed my life is when I started opening up the Bible, studying the Word for myself, asking and praying that the Holy Spirit give me revelation of what the Word meant, and then put that Word into practice. And that transformed my life. I don't always use a lot of Christian jargon, depending on my audience, but at the end of the day, I let everybody know. I always end with this here. I would be remiss not to say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and the Bible is my foundation, but God has given me a gift to simplify things.
Wow. Man, that That is awesome. And going through those things in life, I know that you had some barriers, some mountains, and even becoming an author, and everything. I know you've had a lot of things that you had to overcome, you know, through those trying times and serious times that you went through. And I know that there may be someone, you know, some women that may be listening right now, and they're going through the same exact thing and really don't know how to deal with it. What would be some of the advice that you would be able to give them if they're listening right now, that they want to know how to get past that trauma, I would say, that they've been through in their life with the same issue that they may be going
And this through. Goes for men or women. It's like you said initially, is that this is just a season of your life. You have to understand that you're not alone. That it's not just you. You cannot isolate yourself. You have to find someone that you can trust. Find someone that's already been through that they can help you come out of it. And one of the things that I like to tell women, it's not something that you get delivered from. You literally get delivered through it. One of my books is titled, It's a Process, because it is a process. Every time you think you've gotten past this one thing, something else pops its head up. This is a lifetime journey, but it's worth it. God is a healer. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. There were times that probably from the age of 20 to 40, and keep in mind, I'm 53 today, I was afraid to leave my house. I could only leave my house to go to work, go to church, and go to the grocery store. I couldn't get in my car without having a severe panic attack. I'm going to be on another young lady's television show talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome, because we think oftentimes this is just for our awesome military men and women, but it's not. I had panic attacks that almost debilitated me. I would go to work, do my job, come home, and literally be in a fetal position for about 10 years of my life. I drank one bottle of NyQuil every night just to go to bed. Then I come to realize, by way of the Holy Spirit and reading my word, is that for all those years I prayed for sleep, and what I needed was rest. And the only person that could have given me the rest that I needed, and that was God. And he gave me just that.
Wow. Man, that is, and there are so many women and men, as you said, and that are going through these issues, and they're holding it on the inside because they may feel like no one understands what I'm going through. And especially when you're getting married or you're trying to get married, and I know that the enemy always tries to bring up things that may cause that friction between, you know, you and your spouse because of the past. And because there's so many things that we go through that we have to be delivered from in order to move forward. And this is what I found to be true, is that in order to be truly delivered from something, we have to forgive ourselves as well. Because a lot of times if we don't forgive ourselves, we're holding in what God is trying to do for us. We're blocking it because we haven't actually forgiven ourselves, and we haven't forgiven the person that actually did it to us. And that's where I think a lot of people find it hard to do. You know, how was the barrier of getting over that barrier, especially with getting married? How was that barrier broken for you to be able to move forward into what God wanted you to do?
Well, you made brought up a key point. You gotta forgive. I initially forgave my father, not because I loved him. I forgave him for what I call selfish reasons, because I realized if I held it against him, it would be like me drinking poison and waiting for him to die. I forgave him for selfish reasons to release myself, because I confronted him and I asked him why, and he said with a straight face, it never happened. So you can't reason or argue with that. So I made up my mind. It's, you have to just simply make up your mind. And I think one of the reasons why I was able to forgive him is because he died. And I tell people this all the time. I don't know where I would be today if he was still in the earth. Because he died, I had to put my issues in the grave with him. And I literally wrote on a piece of paper his name. I cut it up, and I literally had a funeral and buried it in the backyard. You know, the reason why I share that is because God knows how to deliver, whether by many or by few. One of the things that was so hard, I couldn't believe I let that happen to me. And keep in mind, I was 5 years old. So I figured something had to be wrong with me. You know what I mean? I didn't doubt God was God, but I just figured he brought me into the world backwards, and I didn't know exactly what was going on. But even at that age, you know, it was not right. And then you're afraid of the shame that's associated with it. And even when I talk about it today, oftentimes people try to put me back into that victim role, and I have to let them know that happened to me, but that does not define me. And that's what we have to know. Everybody got a story. The only difference between someone else's story and my story, I freely share mine. Now, one of the hardest things for me is to share the story, and it's still kind of scary. I'm still concerned which family member is going to hear this, because I've had a tremendous amount of losses. Not to say that it didn't happen, because they were there. But just me bringing shame on the family. When I say I've questioned God on many occasions, was it worth it? Only for a moment. Then I realize it is so much bigger than me and them. And I love them dearly. But this is the thing. We see this stuff happening in the homes. We see the elephant in the room. And we just want to pray about it. We got to go beyond the prayer. We have to address these issues. Yes. There's a scripture in the Bible where this man had a withered hand. God could have healed his hand behind his back, but what did God have him do? Stretch your hand out and show where you're hurting. Let the world see where your injured part is, and I'll heal you. We have to. That's why I do every year, I do this big thing called Let's Keep the Conversation Going, and I invite other people to come out and share their story. What I went through don't even compare with some of what others have gone through. So I believe that I was born for such a time like this. I have no animosity towards my daddy. As a matter of fact, I dedicated the book to him. I said, Daddy, you should see the person that I became. Keep in mind, I don't know how it would be if he was alive. But because he's dead, I had to let that die. Keep in mind, I'm 53 years old, and every now and then you talk about triggers. This is my second marriage. Wow. I can assure you, I married the wrong man at first. We're still good friends today. That's my child's father. But I can assure you, I drove him crazy with all these issues and sensitives and making him pay for what daddy did. My second marriage, which is the marriage that was ordained by God. The other one, I just got married because I got pregnant. I wanted to cover it up. But don't tell nobody. But anyway. I'm a truthful person. So my second marriage, it was 15 years before I met my husband, but I had made up my mind that I needed to be whole because I didn't want to go into the next marriage with all these issues. Wow. So when I met my husband, we had long conversations because I wanted him to know who I am and what my life purpose is, because telling this story, if he's not comfortable with it, then it would interfere in our marriage today. You can't get married when you're broken. It just doesn't work. Yes. I had to grow up, and I'm married a retired Air Force gentleman who's a great guy, and he's tough. Let's just say I had to grow up real fast. I couldn't be sensitive for too long.
Wow. That is amazing, because on what I think, and fast forwarding your life to now, everything that you went through and the things that you're doing for the kingdom right now, the awesome things that you're doing for the kingdom and touching lives, see what God had done between then and now, he created something in you. You know, he put that potential on the inside. And I tell people all the time, potential is hidden treasure. Even when it was going on back then, the treasure of God was still there. So he created in you something new. And the word create means to bring forth. So now you're bringing forth everything that God has put on the inside of you. And the conferences that you're doing, you're bringing forth who you truly are. And see, a lot of people don't understand, you know, when you go through trauma, you have scars. But what I like about it is that, you know, you don't lean on the scars. You know, you don't lean on the scars, or you don't let the scars hold you back, but you allow the word to push you forward. And that's one thing that I like about it, is that you don't allow the scars to hold you back. Because, see, one scripture that comes into mind with that is Deuteronomy 30 and 19. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life. That's what you did. You chose life, the life of Christ. Because once we have the life of Christ in us, everything around us changes. Everything changes.
Amen.
And it
does.
It is so awesome. Everything changes. And, man, and see, you've been a faith walker. And for some people that right now, and I know me, you talked a little bit about faith. For some people who's not understanding how this faith looks, can you explain to them how it looked? Because, see, it is, when it comes from someone who's been through it, it's more real than someone who hasn't been through it, but they heard about it. But when you lived it, now you can really effectively say what faith truly is, because you had to lean on faith. But how can
you
explain that?
We oftentimes quote scriptures that we really don't have a good revelation of what it means. Like, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things they're not seen. Faith is not really faith until it's tested. Going through the process, I can't say that I really stood on faith. I had no choice. I either had to get busy living or lay down and die. And I knew back then, I have to give my dad credit to this here, that he introduced us to Christ, because he could have introduced us to a whole bunch of other religion, but he introduced us to Christ. So even as a young girl, and I knew that prayer changed things. Now, I didn't fully understand it, but I knew that God was real. I always knew that. And there was always something inside of me that protected me through the years. It never let me allow me to go too far off the road before it pulled me back. Faith is being just, it's faith is stupid. Faith is believing those things that are not. Faith is being able to imagine or see with your spiritual eyes, not to go by what you see with your 20/20 vision, because that's limited. In order to have faith, you got to have an imagination. You got to be crazy to believe that this God who you've never seen or touched magically created this son through a young girl, never touched a man, impregnated by the Holy Spirit. How do you know we wasn't going to come back again? We believe that. You have to settle this thing in your heart. Either it's true or it's not. You have to start off there. Either it's true or it's not. You know, I have my ex-sister-in-law used to say this all the time, and she's a minister. She's a pastor of a local church here in Orlando, and she used to say, either God is God or he's not. And when I got in my toughest situation, and all these things usually happened in my mind, when I tell you I was afraid to leave my house because that voice inside of my head said that you were ugly, you were useless, you were worthless, nobody's going to ever love you, you don't love you, you don't have any friends, and God won't love you. You know what I had to do? Because I had studied the word, I couldn't call on the elders of the church, I couldn't call on the pastor, I couldn't call on the mother. I had to put the work in by casting down every imagination and every thought that did not line up with truth. But I knew the truth, so I would say it out loud, because faith has to be heard. You have to speak faith. It's not something that you believe on the inside and nobody knows. You have to say it. Whatsoever you sayeth. So I had to speak louder than those voices on a day-to-day basis. Every now and again, I have to say, no, 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 no. Devil, you forgot. You are a defeated foe. This fight is already fixed. All I need to do is walk it out. And then I begin to quote scripture. I do something that's called A to Z every day of my life. Acclamation. I am able. I am blessed. I am courageous. I am dynamic. I am effective. I am faithful. I go A through Z, and not one time have I ever made it to Z and didn't feel uplifted. In the process of doing that, there are all kinds of distractions, but I make it my daily goal to do that. We have to encourage ourselves, even with the stuff that's going around. Faith means I believe God is going to cover me, but I'm going to stay my butt home. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to wear the necessary gear that they said we're going to do. But when it all boils down, God said that he'll never leave me or forsake me. He didn't stop being God because of the corona.
Come on now. Wow. This is awesome. This is awesome. I like this because this really gives people an understanding to know that that what they're going through in life right now can things can change. You know, things can change.
It will change. It will change. Because when we say can, that gives us that potential to stay where we are. It will change. You know, there are so many songs that I won't even say, God, if you can heal anybody, heal me. No, you said healing is a part of the package. God, if you can protect me, no, you said a part of my salvation package is healing, provision, protection. You didn't say protection if it's not the coronavirus. And can you imagine all the things that God covered us from that we were not aware of?
That's true. That's so true. And I love it because the Bible tells us that Jesus went into places and there were people that had plagues, they had diseases, and he healed them all. So that tells us that the same thing that Jesus did, he said in John 14, he said the works that, for first he said, if you believe, that's the key point, if you believe, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, but you got to believe it. And see, people have to understand that God has given us protection. He's given us kingdom. He's given us diplomatic immunity from the kingdom of God. We have diplomatic immunity where nothing on this earth can stop you if you're living in the kingdom. And what I love about it, he's given us angels. And see, this is what I know angels to be. Angels are called, I call them CEAs. Angels are covenant enforcing agents. They're CEAs.
Amen.
So what is their job? Their job is to come and enforce the covenant that God made between us and him. They enforce it. So if we let them do their job, they help us stay right where God wants us to be. And, man, I love this because this, you get me excited here, man. I love this.
I think one of the issues we're having is we don't understand the kingdom. We are so busy want to be soldiers in the army of God. God don't need us to fight for him. Didn't he say, if I needed someone to fight for me, I'll call 10 legions down? We're living in a kingdom, and this kingdom is not a place that you can tangibly touch. When I wake up in the morning, I know I'm in the kingdom, and I thank God for the late Dr. Miles Monroe because he just opened that up to my understanding. And it's like you said last Sunday, you said that in the kingdom, things are not taught, but it's discerned.
Mm-hmm.
It's called.
Yes.
So if we really know that we're in a kingdom, understanding how kingdoms operate, it's not a democracy. We have certain rights simply because who our king is, who our dad is. You take, I still call him President Barack Obama. I don't care where he goes. When you find out those are his daughters, they got special privileges, not because of what they did, but because what he accomplished.
He accomplished. That's true. Wow, that's true. Because that lines up with 2 Peter 1:3 that says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So everything that we need that pertains to how we need to live on this earth, he's already did it for us. He's already given it to us. And when we can just walk in what he says and live in what he says, there are three things that I always tell people that we need to do every single day to stay in our faith. That is, we have to say it, see it, and believe it. We have to start saying what we're seeing in the spirit realm. We got to start saying from our mouth. The biggest thing the enemy wants to do is keep your mouth closed. What was the first attack that Jesus encountered when he started his ministry? It came out, and see, because I tell people, and I think I said this on Sunday, when God made man, he made man perfectly in his image. We were a duplicate, a replica of God that stood right next to him. And if he'd have stood us up right next to him at that time, the angels would have thought that they were looking at double because we looked just like him. So anytime Satan attacks you, he don't know who he's attacking. He don't know if he's attacking the real thing or the duplicate. He don't know. So that's what happened with Jesus when he showed up to Satan. He had to find out who he was working with. But the first thing that Jesus said when he spoke to him, he said, "It is written." If we can live by that right there, faith will never be a problem if we live by what has already been written. I tell people all the time, what's written is the truth. What is being written is a lie. You don't need to believe in what's being written because that is a lie from the pit. And that right there is what I believe you had to stand on every day of your life, what's been written. What's been written.
You have to, but wow. One of the issues with that is we don't know what's been written. We get confused with the definition of all. All is all-inclusive. Not this and that, but all leaves nothing out. And it's not according to another person's faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. So I don't care what the world's economy is today. The kingdom got everything it needs. We don't live by that economy. I can tell you personally, my father was a millionaire. He wasn't a good father, but he was a millionaire. He didn't take care of his family right, but he still was a millionaire. Let me tell you something. There is no shortage in money or resources. There is no, when God created the earth, everything we needed, he put in here. It's like you said earlier, the Bible says that God has given us everything, and we have to stop on some of these words and meditate on them. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness, meaning he's taking care of our before, during, and our afterlife. But we have to give him something to work with. I think too many of us are waiting for God to do it. And he's already done it. I think my Bible said the King James Version and all the other versions said that he is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. He ain't coming down as much as he loves me. But he's given me the authority in the earth to get these things done. If I told you what my life was today, it would sound like I'm bragging.
Wow, my God. But and that's your, this is your now, from where God has brought you from the past up into your now. And see, I would say you're just like, you know, you're just like the man of God when he lost everything, when Job lost everything. But the book said that his latter was better than his beginning because God restored everything back to him and gave him double.
Let's talk about why God did that. Why did he lose everything? He didn't lose it because God was testing him, per Pastor Keith. He lost it because of what he was thinking or how he thought. He said, the thing that I feared the most came upon me. Even for me, where I am today, God is my judge and my witness. I used to imagine it. I used to imagine it. I used to walk around in my home. I would go to the Goodwill, get me a mic, get me a podium, and I would walk around pretending that I was speaking on stages around the world. My imagination got me to where I am. I began to imagine what my life, the life that I wanted, because we have control of that. We absolutely have control. We can set our own future. We have control of that. God has given us that authority, but we don't want to put the work in. You know how hard it is to cast down every imagination and thought that does not line up with God? That takes effort, because when you're getting ready to do that, then your favorite song is on the radio. Or somebody calls you on the phone. You walking through the house praying, and you see I need to put those clothes up, and if you stop, then you're delayed on what you're supposed to do. So it's not easy. If it was easy, Jesus would have never had to go to the cross and die and get up for us. But he's given us that authority. How bad do you want it? I drew a picture of a two-story home with a swimming pool, and I'm living there today. Prior to getting here, I drew a picture of rental property, living there today. I began to imagine. Now I'm drawing a picture of me of size 12, and I'm walking towards that, not to be slim. I know that sounds crazy, but to be healthier so that I can live out life purpose without having any kind of health challenges like I have today. We have to think of how do you want your life. We have to get around people that are doing the things that we want to do, and then we have to find out how did you do it. And then we have to start putting things in place so that we can be and do the thing that we're designed to do. God has never come down to earth where he's in us and tapped me on the shoulder and said, Veronica, I want you to do A, B, C, D. I prayed about it. I felt this thing in my heart to do it, and I met him along the way. Meaning when I look back, he was always there. But I had to give him a plan to work. We're so busy waiting on God, and he is waiting for us. My first book that I published, it was terrible, but I published it nonetheless. Once I published it, and it was terrible, did I say that? Then God introduced me to an author, a person that does books and all that good stuff, and she was able to rewrite it. But without me starting it, she had nothing to work with. Whatever you feel in your heart to do, do it. You will get better along the way.
Wow. And that and how many books have you written so far? How many books have you authored right now?
I have a total of two, but I'm revamping My Dreams Revealed. That was one of the books that I initially wrote, and then I have It's a Process. It used to be titled All Jacked Up, but I wanted people to focus on that. It's a process. Healing is a process. You never forget this stuff. There are days that I'm watching TV and I cry, not because I can still remember the pain that's associated with it, but I cry because it's like, wow, God, that was me. You talked about scars. I have a cut on my thumb all the way up to my wrist. I lean on that because that's a reminder. God is God. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. So I look at this as the nails, scars in Jesus' hand. When I look at that, it's a reminder. You don't look like what you've been through. Now, I'm not special. It's available to anybody in this world who wants it. You just have to go after it. And writing the book I talk about, one of my books is called My Dreams Revealed, True Story. For 20 years straight, I dreamed the same dream over and over again. And in those dreams, because I had so much noise going on the outside, I had all these negative voices. It was like God introduced himself to me by way of dreams. And he reintroduced me to me by way of dreams. I read my dreams, and then I created a dream journal because I do believe that when you write the vision, you make it plain. You talk about faith. If we really believe a thing, we will start walking in it. Just like I believe that you were going to invite me because you said so on your show, so I'm here. I can't say I believed it and I didn't get my phone and everything else that I needed to be a part of it. My faith was activated when I sat down and we started talking. There are so many opportunities. We have to do what I teach my clients in my life coach class. We have to live in the now. What do I mean? So many people say, oh, it's so easy for you, and you know, you got an anointing in your life. No. I live in the now. Yeah. I notice opportunities. Like when I met you and your beautiful wife, the opportunity was for me to come in, sit down, and be quiet or have a conversation with you folks. N-O-W. Wow. Then I notice the opportunities. I don't just say, oh, there's an opportunity. Praise God. Then I welcome that opportunity. We have to live in the now. People that tell me that I want to speak, then I say speak. Speaker, speak. If you want to write, write. Put it on paper. Preach, just preach. Wow. You don't have to have an audience. Do like I did in my bedroom.
Yes.
That's what I did.
Come on.
And I started buying things and mics and podiums and cameras, preparing myself for such a time as this. Am I the best in the world? No. But there are millions of people that want to hear what I have to say, just like there are millions of people that want to hear what you have to say. We all have a tremendous work to do.
That's true. That's true. And that brings me to where Jesus in Luke chapter 1 and around verse 45, and he was talking to Mary, and he told her, he says, and blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The word performance simply means a demonstration of the anointing. So God is saying, when you really believe who I am, I'll demonstrate through you who I truly am. That's all we got to do is believe. This coronavirus going on, man, this stuff is nothing compared to God. All we have to do is believe the same Jesus. That, and see, if we can understand that Jesus nailed this stuff to the cross, see, the thorns and thistles, if we go back to Genesis, that represented how God told Adam he would have to work and the sweat of his brow would come off of him. That was under the curse. When Jesus had the crown of thorns put on his head, that took that away. That eliminated that. So now he says, now you don't have to work like that, because now I brought you from under the curse and I've given you everything that you need again. And that's all we have to know right
it
now.
It is written.
It is written.
You don't have to argue or you don't have to convince anybody. Like I said, I don't try to convince people that I know God is real. I know him in the power of his resurrection. I know him as a keeper. I know him as a healer. True story as it relates to a keeper. Being a young lady who was real cute back in the days and really not knowing who she was, so I was a target. I went to Job Corps for 2 years because I didn't know what to do once I graduated from high school, because I didn't think I was smart enough to go to college, but I wanted to get away. So I go to Job Corps, and this super fine coach was basically sleeping with every girl almost at Job Corps. And I remember putting on some shorts, and I talk about this in my book. And I had a cute figure, so I figured he was going to – it's not that I wanted to sleep with him, but why wasn't he paying me any attention? It kind of reinforced that I was nothing. So I put the shorts on and walked down the dorm where he was. This man walks out of that little box thing where the commissary, I forgot what you call it, and he said, get back in that dorm and take those shorts off. That's not even you. Now, I heard him say, take your knock-kneedy, greasy nose, ugly, nappy-headed stuff back in that dorm. I wouldn't touch you with a 30-foot pole. Long story short, I moved back to Florida, go to Miami, meet one of my girlfriends that was there. She was dying. I spoke with her sister. He infected over 16 to 20 people with the HIV virus. That could have been me.
Wow.
Not that I was so good, but God covered me. I couldn't have gotten a boyfriend if they paid me, because God knew I was so tore up back then that he protected me. And I'm so grateful to him for that. A couple of years, when I was about 16, I was hurting so bad, because who do you tell? Remember back then, we didn't talk to adults because kids were seen and not heard. And back then, I didn't have the verbiage to explain what was going on. So I was a dead man walking, just dying on the inside. So I always remember, like, whether a television show or people said, if you smoke drugs or take drugs, you could fly and you didn't feel anything. So why two of my friends, they were older people, and I just hung around their house because I didn't want to go home. So I would leave my house from sun up to sundown and didn't come home until maybe about 10 o'clock I can sneak in or something late. And they had some, I believe it was weed, and it was either crack, and I did say crack, C-R-A-C-K, crack, either had weed, crack, or cocaine in it. And I always knew this here. If I'm going to do dirt, I'm going to do it by myself. I never took a crowd with me. So I took one puff, and I'm talking about how God covered me through the years. Am I on radio? That one puff felt better than the Holy Spirit and then some. I knew instantly that I couldn't afford to be a crackhead. Never
and God let
it,
you
never
know
touched
that.
Touched it a day. He sure did. Jesus. Right at that moment, I said, God, if you take this from me one time, I'll never touch it again. And I have never, because I knew that second time around, I would have been on the streets, and I knew I couldn't afford it. I always knew that there was something special in me, even though I heard all the voices.
Jesus, wow. Man, I tell you, this is awesome. We got about 90 seconds, but can you tell the people how they can reach you for your books, your email address or something like that? How can they be able to order your books?
Absolutely. You can find my books on Amazon.com. You can call me via my business number, which is 407-953-5554. You can email me at Veronica, that's V-E-R-O-N-I-C-A, Neely, N-E-A-L-Y, at yahoo.com. You can go on my professional Facebook page, Keep It Simple Saints Ministry. It's a nonprofit 501c3 organization where we focus on empowering women in the area of personal development and entrepreneurship, or you can go on my Facebook page and inbox me.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much for being on. We're going to have you back on again. You got to come back on because you have so much in you that we didn't have time enough to get everything out, but we're going to have you back on again with us. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. And listen, people of God, always remember, we are here every Thursday night. I know we did Wednesday today, but we're going to be on again on tomorrow night. I have a special guest from Miami. Bishop Thompson is going to be with us on tomorrow night. Tune in right here again. Victory Praise Radio Broadcast. And always remember, walk by faith and not by sight, because it's already done. And as we leave out, enjoy this song by Kirk Franklin, I Smile. God bless you, and we'll see you again on tomorrow night.